Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for tuning in with us for this evening's broadcast. We really have a great show planned for you this evening, and I trust that you all are as equally as excited as I am. So, all I can tell you is just stand by, because we've got a great show planned for you tonight, and I know that you're going to enjoy it as much as I am, because I enjoy every one of my shows, and it's because of you. It's because of my audience that causes me. It's because of my audience that causes me to really have a great show every week. Sometimes it appears that what happens is we get sidetracked. There are times when, but nevertheless, we come back on to ask. Oh, sorry. Excuse me. That just came out of nowhere. All right. If you're just joining us, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. As I said earlier, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and I will be with you for the next 60 minutes. We're going to be bringing in our featured guest, which is actually my co-host tonight, Ms. Audrey Blake. She will be joining us momentarily, so I want you to please stand by. Tonight's topic is, besides love, what inspires you to stay in an unhealthy relationship? Besides love, what inspires you to stay in an unhealthy relationship? And, a lot of times people look at things and they say, well, what does love have to do with anything? And let me tell you something. Love is in everything just about that we do. Love is, it talks about love conquers all. We've had a show on that, and we asked the question, does love really conquer all? So we've had some profounding questions out there when it comes to our this relationship show. And we've had a lot of people who ask the various questions from time to time. And they want to know. People really want to know things. They want to know if people are pretty much, if they're happy in their relationships. And they want to know if there are some answers. You know, how do you know if you're dating the right person? How do you know if you're in the right relationship? Well, there's a lot of things that go sometimes unanswered for people. And we're not saying that we have all of the answers for each show, but I can tell you this with certainty. You're going to find that we do have some answers. And I'm not suggesting that all of those answers are coming from me. No, not at all. That's not what I'm getting at. But I can tell you this, a lot of the answers that do come from my listening audience. So please, I encourage every one of you all to tune in and follow us. Matter of fact, mark this on your, mark the show in your, on your phone and set a timer that, you know, by 6:50, 6:55, and give yourself that 10-minute reminder or that on-time reminder that the show is about to come on. Okay, once again, tonight's topic, Besides love, what inspires you to stay in an unhealthy relationship? You know, so that's what we're looking at tonight. Besides love, what inspires you to stay in an unhealthy relationship? We want to hear from you, and my calls is going to be calling in momentarily, Miss Audrey Blake. She's going to give you her commercial, but we want to hear from you all out there because you're the ones, like most of us, in relationships, and you want to know, hey, what inspires me to stay in this relationship that I'm in? Whether it's an abusive relationship, whether it's a good, you know, you may find some attributes for your particular relationship that you enjoy. And those are the things that keeps you going. So let's hear from you, you know, and we can bring you in at any point in time. Just press one. I want to know tonight, besides what you call love, what inspires you to stay in that unhealthy relationship? So I thought we had a number calling in, 786-514, but maybe not. Okay, you can press one at any point in time. We would love to hear just a tidbit from you. What keeps you in that relationship? Well, for a lot of people, they say, well, you know what? I love the person. There are some individuals out there who just feel like, you know what? I can't afford to leave the relationship, even though I know that he or she is not the best person for me. You know, I can't afford to just give this relationship up. So I endure. I just stay with the relationship because, you know what, and then you start to categorize, oh, all men are the same or all women are the same, or you're going to go through something with every relationship, so you might as well stay where you are. Well, maybe some of those are weak excuses, and maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe there are some valid excuses, but let's find out what's your excuse or what's your reason, what's your rationale. You know, let us hear from you tonight. And then, of course, we have other show topics that we've been doing from week to week, month to month. And those are some real interesting ones that we've been having. One of my favorites is, should dating or marriage come with an expiration date? And I say, well, you know what? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it should come with an expiration date, maybe not. But you know what? If you're not doing good in your relationship, why waste time? Why give something so much time when, in fact, you really don't have that kind of time to be giving something when, you know, it can be a poor thing to do. So join us tonight. And we want to hear from you as to what inspires you besides love. What inspires you to stay in an unhealthy relationship? But if you're in a relationship that's healthy, let us know about that as well. Maybe somebody out there who hears your story might say, you know what? Maybe I've been looking at this all wrong. Maybe I can listen to this person and say, well, you know what? I'm going to tune in. I'm going to really go ahead and tune in, and let me see what I can learn from this individual. All right, right now, let's bring in my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, author of Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement, also the author of Dying to Wake Up.
Dying to Wake
and
Up.
Now, yes, Dying to Wake Up, and also radio show host, I should say. So, Ms. Blake, welcome to the show tonight. You've got so many hats. You know, I tell you, I'm just grateful to be a part of your team.
Oh, my. Well, I'm grateful to be a part of your show and all the awesome things you do. Good afternoon. I'm sorry for the delay. It's been a busy one. Just got off the highway, actually. I do want to talk about my radio show very briefly.
Okay.
So the radio show for our listeners is for adults over the age of 18 because we do talk about mature subject matter, nothing distasteful but very mature. It's about relationships and sexuality. And, again, I emphasize the word tasteful. And it's for audiences 18 plus, preferably over 30. It's called Two Sips in Conversation. And it's a forum where at the end of the day, at 10 o'clock on Mondays, I'm sorry, 9 o'clock on Mondays, people can sit down, sip on something that's relaxing, perhaps a cup of tea, and just have the conversation. Call in and just have conversation. So you can call the show on Mondays at 9 Eastern Time by dialing the same call-in number as this show.
All right. Any word out there on your book? You want to give any information about your books or your book?
Well, just wanted to say that the book is available on Amazon.com. It's called Falling in Love with Me, and also Dying to Wake Up. If you type that in and just put Audrey Blake, it will show up as well. To find out any information about any of the things that I've talked about or other available services, you can go to fosteringleaders.org. Again, the website is fosteringleaders.org. Thank you, Dr. Walker.
Okay, no problem, Ms. Blake. We're glad to oblige you, and I'm happy to hear that your radio show is going quite well. I hear some great things about it myself, so I'm very excited about that for you, and I'm very proud of you. I just want you to know that.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunities.
Certainly, certainly. So let me ask you, Ms. Blake, since we're talking tonight about besides love, what inspires you to stay in an unhealthy relationship? And this question is not directed at you, but let's
right.
just say, what would inspire individuals to stay in an unhealthy relationship from your perspective?
Well, I'm sure we'll hear a lot tonight about it, but, you know, finances sometimes, good sex, children, just a number or appearances. Sometimes people care more about how it looks to society, and they don't want people to know what's really going on if they're in an unhealthy relationship.
Okay, I think that is so important. But let's look at another side of that. What are some of the drawbacks and dangers of someone staying in an unhealthy relationship, regardless of the reason, whether it's finance, no matter what it is, what would cause a person to stay in an unhealthy relationship? You know, there's some relationship where people...
The damage.
The what?
I'm sorry. You were saying what are some of the damages that can happen when someone
staying in an unhealthy relationship?
Well, first of all, depending on just how unhealthy it is, if it is a situation where there is domestic violence, they can end up dead, just to keep it real with you, injured or dead. The other thing is, even if you walk away from an unhealthy relationship or you don't leave it or you stay in it way too long, you may walk away with a very damaged sense of self. Which, as we often say, that emotional damage can be even worse than physical damage.
Right, and you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I want to get to our story shortly about damaged relationships. And, in fact, I want to give a number of scenarios that will actually be instead of giving one particular story, because a lot of times people have written in and said, well, you know what? They like the different scenarios because you can talk about different issues. So we're going to give scenarios tonight. Yeah, we're going to give scenarios tonight that simply surround a number of different scenarios that simply surround things in terms of being in an unhealthy relationship, even some of the signs. And, you know, the first one that we will discuss will be, let's just talk about Martha, and we're going to speak to the issue of Martha. Martha is has been married for 3 years, and Martha now realizes that she made a mistake by marrying this guy. But although she loves him, he is not only mentally abusive, but he is physically abusive. She's been married 3 years. He's mentally and physically abusive. Now the question becomes, Martha has such a dependency on him that she has no idea of how to get out of this relationship. She has no children with him. She's in her early 20s. Now she doesn't understand what it takes to get out of this. He has characteristics like that of his father. His father was abusive mentally and physically. So now she wants to know, how can I get out of a relationship like this? You know, Ms. Blake, let's start with you. What are your thoughts for someone like Mom who's with a guy, 3 years, early 20s? You know, what would you advise her as her life coach?
Well, I didn't quite get if she was married to the guy or, you know.
But she's married to him. She's married for 3 years.
Okay. She needs to get out. She really does. Because I thought I heard you say physically abusive.
He's mentally and physically abusive.
Oh, without a doubt. She needs to seek help. There are local agencies in every city that domestic violence agencies and shelters. And so I would advise her, you quickly. You don't have children. I think that's what you said. You quickly need to get out of this. And so she needs to get to a safe house. I would advise her to quickly, if it's a financial issue, if she has the financial means, then I would suggest that she she should file some type of protective order, without a doubt. She needs to move.
Well, you know, and I would agree with everything that you said. If a woman is going through an abusive situation and clearly she realized that, you know what, I have these fears and I just don't know how to get out of this, I think that one of the first steps also is to start to keep a journal where you can maybe write that journal. Martha's working, she can keep that journal at work, you know, somewhere private in her locker if she can. Or keep it if she's not working or if she's at home and she finds time to write, right when he's not, because chances are he's abusive, so she probably doesn't have any resolve to having that private time where if she's writing something, he's going to probably want to know what is she writing. So that won't give her the freedom. So I would suggest that she gets a journal. Go ahead, Ms. Blake, and then I'll come back.
You must have felt my spirit about to say something. I was like,
right.
I have to take the glove off real early on this one because that's just an area I'm very passionate about. I've counseled women before, friends in that situation, some of whom are no longer with us. The book Dying to Wake Up actually addresses some of this, so that's another thing to read. It's a novel to read. If he is abusing her physically, I'm one of those people that don't advocate. The journaling is a nice thing to recover as you are journeying through your emotional recovery. But if he's laying a hand on her or causing some physical harm, she should be calling the police because he should be in jail.
Well, you know what? I couldn't agree with you more. We're going to hear from some of our callers in a moment. What about Ms. Blake? You know, I hear a lot of excuses in counseling people, particularly women, where it's like, you know what, if I call the police because they got these domestic violence cases now, I might end up hurting myself because I need his income to help circumvent some of these expenses around the house. Let's hear from one of our callers and see what she says. Looks like we've got a 226, looks like this is Rose, producer letting us know. Welcome to the show, Zina Rose.
Hi, Dr. Walker. Hi, Miss Blake.
Hi, Rose. Welcome to the show.
Rose, tell us what you think. I mean, here is Martha in an abusive relationship. She's been married for 3 years, and she's become totally dependent on him. She can't afford to really leave, you know, and she doesn't even have a clue on an exit strategy, and I think that that's very important. What advice would you give her?
I agree with everything Ms. Blake and you said, you know. Ms. Blake said she needs to find a safe house and she needs to call the cops if he's abusing her. And, you know, I agree with all of that. I really do. However, sometimes when a female is abused, if she is in that abusive relationship, number one, her self-esteem is very low. if she is staying in that abusive relationship. Her self-esteem is very low, and she's also afraid. Apparently, it would seem like her abuser have total control over her, and therefore she's afraid to even call the cops at times. She's afraid because he might have threatened her, and especially if they have kids. He of course is a weak person, and that's the reason why he is abusing her, because he needs to feed that power. But he has already taken away everything from her if he is abusing her, and therefore she may be afraid to even report him, because if he is abusive, then he might have threatened her and say, if you do this, then I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to kill the kids, and then I'm going to kill myself, okay? And she really don't know how far he will go. So maybe she might believe him, because he's beating on her, and so she's going to believe that he is really going to carry this through if she reports him. Sometimes she might suffer in silence that her family doesn't even know what she's going through, because she might be afraid to get her family involved, because she doesn't want her family to be hurt. You know, if he's abusive, chances are he has threatened her. He has threatened with her family if she tells, and he might let her know, listen, I'm not going to stay in jail for life. You know, I'm going to get bail, and when I get out, I'm coming to get you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill the kids, and I'm going to kill myself because I don't care. Okay? So I think we have to consider all of that. I agree that she does need to come with a strategy. She does need to get out of there, and she does need to go to a safe house, but you also have to consider what she might be going through in her mind, you know, the power that she have lost, her self-esteem and her self-worth that she have lost, and he is totally controlling her, you know. So we have to kind of thread kind of softly, you know, to realize what she might be going through at that time, you know, and at the same time try to help her to get out of it.
I think go ahead, Ms. Blaine.
And Rose, I understand. I definitely do. And I guess I just have and it's great to have opposing views on things. That's true, but I was just sitting here thinking, so those cowards, that's what that coward depends on, is that level of control. And I say coward because I believe a man that hits a woman is a coward. And so they depend on that holding power over them. So if it was a sister, a friend, I would try to help get them to that shelter. You know, I would try to help them figure out how to get out of the house. I've known people who've had controlling spouses, and unfortunately some of them have left their children. I'm a big believer my kids will go with me, but we be acting like they go to school, you know. Well, that's another story. I don't want to prolong my answer. But I would get out the house. I would act like my normal routine, and he thinks everything's okay. And then first chance I got, I'd be gone. And that's how I would counsel that client. And these domestic violence shelters will work with those. They know how to teach women how to deal with this and to deal with the resources of that emotional trauma that they've encountered.
All right. We're going to, you're listening live to the Dr. Jess Walker Show. If you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, besides love, what inspires you to stay in an unhealthy relationship? We just gave a scenario, one of our five scenarios that we're going to give tonight, and this one we dealt with Martha, married to a man for 3 years. He's not only mentally, but he's also physically abusive. And his father was like that, and Martha doesn't have a clue of an exit strategy on how to get out. So we certainly, Ms. Blake, appreciate your comments, and Rose, we certainly do too. Let me go to the phone lines once again. Let's go to 205-908. Welcome to the show this evening. You're on the air live.
Oh, this is Jack.
Jack, welcome back, Jack. Thank you for joining us. What do you think, Jack? What do you think would inspire someone besides love to stay in an abusive, in an unhealthy relationship, like in the case with Martha.
Well, I don't know what inspires people to do that, but I would vote against that. I wouldn't even want my daughter to stay in a situation like that. So I wouldn't want anybody really to stay in a situation like that. But let me just share some light on something. My father was like that. He was abusive physically and mentally and verbally towards my mother, and basically to my siblings and myself as well. So I kind of grew up with that fear and all of the things that comes with someone being abusive. So, you know, when you get older, you know, those things, you think about them. You think about what happened when you were a child and all, and it has an adverse effect on you at all. But I wouldn't advise anybody, you know, who are being verbally, mentally, and physically abused to stay in a situation. And that shouldn't keep you in a relationship. You can't say that, I can't do any better, or I don't make enough money. I mean, you get out, you stretch out on faith. You stretch out and you go out, and the Lord will bless you. God helps those that help themselves. But for you to be in a relationship that someone is treating you badly, being abusive to you, and physically abusing you, then that's, to me, it's just not right. It's not the best thing that you can do. You should always strive for the betterment, trying to do better. And you can do bad by yourself. You don't need somebody to do bad.
I think that is so important. Let me ask you, Jack, what was you mentioned your father. What may have been an extra strategy, if you recall, that your mother used to get out of that unhealthy relationship?
Well, she stayed in it, I think, too long. I think she stayed in it too long. It had an adverse effect, I think, on her, and it had an adverse effect on the children as well. I think at some point in time, she just felt that she had had enough. It was time for her to go, and she didn't care, you know, what came with it, whether she was going to have enough money to take care of her children, or she probably just got tired of the physical abuse and also the verbal abuse that came along with that. There was a total disconnect there for her with her, the husband, with the children, and everybody that was involved. So I'm glad she did. I'm happy that she got out of that relationship at all. And I think even to his, almost to his deathbed, he was almost still the same way, because he got married again and he was still doing the same thing even in that relationship. You would think that they learned from the mistakes and all, but he didn't learn. Now, we don't know what drove him to that. He was in the service. He was, when people see people dying in the service, you know, it could cause them to drink or to do whatever. So, but I don't see it causing you to be abusive to the weaker vessel. Right? But that's what happened. That's what he did.
Well, I would think, Jack, we appreciate you sharing that with us. But, and I would also think that any man who loves his mother should be mindful, if he's thinking about putting his hands, excuse me, on a woman, you know, in a harmful or offensive way, then he should think about, would he want some man to put his hands on his mother? And so I think that when they can think that way, before they do it, no matter how upset they are, if they could go to that point in their life, if they could go to that position, then I'm sure that they would do the right thing. And it might mean that no matter how frustrated they are, they may just say, well, you know what, let me walk away, because if a man put his hands on my mom, you know, then this is what I'm likely to do. What do you think about that, Jack? And then Ms. Blake will bring you back in.
I agree with you, because, you know, there's a bond. There's a certain bond with the child and the mother, and especially with the boy. You know, if he sees his dad, you know, or anybody, you know, physically abusing his mom or verbally abusing them, then they're going to come to her rescue. You could be a young, matter of fact, you could be her daughter. And if you see someone doing that to your parents, I mean, you're going to jump to the rescue. And then, you know, you're going to have children and the parent fighting against the other parent and all. And that happens. It happens all the time. So, I don't agree with all the fighting and all of that, but get out of it. Get out of it before it gets to that point, because you can almost see where it's going to head to. Somebody's going to get injured. Somebody's going to get seriously hurt, or somebody's going to go to jail. So get out of it before all that happens.
I certainly agree with you, and I think that that's a great thing. Ms. Blake, give me your thoughts, and then we're going to give you the next scenario.
Well, I raised two sons, and one of the things I tell my sons, I told them, is you never hit a woman. If you have to walk away, you walk away, but you don't hit a woman. So definitely that's just something as mothers we should tell our sons so they grow up with that in mind, because there's just no excuse.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
I just want to give you a little quick scenario. I was in a classroom one day, this is about maybe 5 years ago, and I wasn't the principal, but the principal was there as well, and the resource officer, and this little girl and this guy, they were across the room, and they were mouthing off at each other, and she got up out of her seat, and she went, oh, now we were telling them to stop, because we didn't know they were going to get to this point. The principal was in there at the same time. And so she got up out of her seat, and she went over to where he was, and she started mouthing off to him. He knocked her. Now, she was like half his size. He hit her in the mouth and knocked her out. He just knocked her out. That was no excuse. I mean, he knew he could beat that little girl, and he knocked her out. They handcuffed him right there in the classroom and took him straight to jail.
Well, it's unfortunate that, you know, he went straight to jail. Because you're talking about a student, and I don't know what his age was. But definitely for adults, I don't have a problem with that. Because, you know, there's no reason to hit a woman. I don't care if you're talking about your mama. You know?
That's right.
You
just hit a woman. That's my opinion.
I agree.
Right. And my thought is this. You know, even if he, Ms. Blake, you mentioned, it's unfortunate him going to jail and he's a student. If it was an adult and you're looking at it, maybe not to justify it saying that, you know, just because he's an adult. But I feel no sympathy for him for going to jail for hitting the young lady that Jack spoke about, because the temperaments start when they're younger. I don't believe it just happens overnight. I think that the temperament starts when they are younger. And so if he doesn't get, you know, some kind of scare tactic or some type of help for the situation, there could be a likelihood that he grows up and becomes that adult
that continues to be abusive.
So, Rose, let's bring you in. Do you think that, I mean, do you have any sympathy for him being arrested as that child?
Ninth grader.
Oh, he's old enough to know better.
He was in high school, and he's probably a lot older than what he appeared to be. But he's a lot bigger. He's like two or three times bigger than the girl.
Right. I agree that he needed to be punished for it. And of course, I have no sympathy for him being handcuffed right there in the classroom, because then it sends a message to the other boys there, in case they are thinking about, you know, hitting a female. They need to realize that this is what will happen. Not can happen, but will happen. No, I have no sympathy for a man that hits a woman, you know. And as Ms. Blake said, even if they talk about your mama, I'm saying even if you came home and found her with another man, there's still no reason to hit her. You walk away.
I have a problem with that. I'm having a problem with that part.
A man has absolutely no reason to put his hand on a woman. I don't care what she does. You walk away. And I feel the same way. A woman has no reason to hit a man, you know? I don't think anyone should hit the other person.
That's we're going to bring you all back in just a second. You know, I tend to Rose, I tend to agree with that. And I would say, and of course I could get it wrong, but I say if he comes in on his, let's say it's his wife, and she's in bed with another man, or she's all hugged up or kissing up with another man, I would just say, I mean, and see, that's where I think it takes something greater than the individual themselves. And I say the best instinct that you could follow is to just turn and walk away and run away if you have to, get in your car and drive off and call the police and explain to them what just happened, and you need help, and you're driving to the station so that you can get them to so you can be there with them. Okay, but that's just my take. But Dad, give me your thoughts on that. And Rose, I agree with you.
I got to give my take. Okay, now, well, marriage is supposed to be for life. Okay, we know that. Okay, when we marry somebody, we have to really love them. I'm not saying you put, all your ingredients into that person, but most of the time we do that anyway. And then for you to come home, now, first of all, you probably have gone berserk. You find them in the bed with somebody else, you probably literally have gone berserk. You don't know what you would do. You don't know what your responses would be. Yes, that's the ideal situation. The ideal situation is to walk away, but all kind of thoughts go through your mind. You could snap. You don't know what could happen to you at that moment. Now, I'm not advocating any violence because I'm not a violent person. I'm definitely not advocating that. But I don't know what you would do in a situation like that if your mind snapped. I mean, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't know what we would do in any given situation at all. So I'm not saying that we should hit anybody. I definitely agree with, what everybody said about keeping your hands to yourself and all. But something out of the ordinary like that happens, I don't know how most people have killed people, and they call it an act of passion or whatever. Is that the correct word I'm saying? Call it an act of
crime of passion.
So I don't know. I don't know what would happen. I just pray to God that I never experienced a situation like that. I just don't know.
And I could be wrong, and I can't speak for everybody, but I think that if I encountered a situation where it's uncomfortable for me, I would hope and pray that before I would even do anything stupid, especially like putting my hands on a woman under those circumstances, because I played it in my mind, certain scenarios you just play in your mind. Well, if this happens, worst case scenario, what's the worst thing that can happen? If this happens, turn and walk away. Let her have him. I mean, that's just my thinking. And Jackie, I agree. You say, that's probably easier said than done. But I think to my mindset, I believe I could do that. I believe I could do that because it's safety for me, because this is not the Garden of Eden. And you can love so hard that same love can be what destroys you and gets you in jail. Now you don't have the woman anyway. And so I'm just saying okay, that's what? And then just turn around, walk out the door. You might not even lock the door. You don't care. You might even leave it open. But all I know is I'm out of here. I'm not even trying to get my things at that time. The next time she see me is I'm bringing the police with me so that I can make sure. I'm bringing probably three of them with me so that they go in, they're talking to me, and they're letting me get my stuff. And I just ask them, don't let her touch me, please. Don't let her touch me. Let me just go on and get my stuff. And I think that's the safest way. Jack, we're going to hold you there for a second. Ms. Blake, let's bring you in, and then we're going to go to the phone lines again. Ms. Blake, go ahead.
I just want to comment also on the scenario with the little girl and the young boy that Jack gave. One, she should be put out of school, too. She could be suspended. So there should be some consequences to her as well because she was agitating. The other thing is, I still stick to a man should never hit a woman. I don't care if he comes home and finds her in bed with another man or woman, unfortunately, sometimes. It's no excuse. It's a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything to the girl.
Miss Blake, while you brought that up, let me ask you this question. You say you have two sons, and of course Rosa said, and you've said, and Jack has said, and I've said even, that there's nothing to really justify putting your hands on a woman, and Jack has presented also that under certain circumstances, we may say we might not do something, but we don't know. But let me just ask this question, Miss Blake. What if one of your boys, let's just say, just hypothetically speaking, one of your sons says, well, Mama, she hit me first, and that was a reflection. I couldn't help it. That was a reflection, and I slapped her back before I even knew it. It was a reflex.
Well, I think that it's because I brought them up. But the bottom line is I brought them up in such a way. I mean, I can kind of think about my two sons. I know their personality. And I could just see, you know, even that scenario with catching somebody in bed with somebody else, I could see them just walking away. But they'll be done when they walk away, though. For sure.
I would hope that any man or woman would be done if they walk away. But I would hope that they would be done. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to 786-306. Welcome to the Dr. Talk Show. You're on the air live. 786-306.
Woman. You have to know how to respect that woman.
Okay, who do we have on the line with us? Welcome to the show.
I'm start taking a step back, say, hey, man, you know, I love him or this whatever.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the show live, and we're picking up your comment, your conversation. So we don't know if you're talking to us or each other.
Oh no! Okay. I didn't even know you was on there.
Who do we have on the air with us this evening, and welcome?
Oh, welcome. This is Stanley.
Stanley, thank you for joining us. Stanley, do you think let's just say, Stanley, let's give a hypo here. You're married. You walk in on your wife, and she's in bed with another man enjoying herself. I mean, she's really climaxing. She's really climaxing. I'm like, you ain't never heard a climax like that when she was with you. Stanley, what do you do?
What I will do?
Yes.
Well, I will join in. It looks like she ain't satisfied with me alone, so she want more than one, so at least she will got two.
At least I have to call my show.
But you will make it an orgy. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, it looked like one is not sufficient, so she won two. So I will join in. Maybe she will more enjoy that.
Okay. All right. After you all have the threesome, then Stanley, tell me the other man may not want her anymore after that. Because he's thinking some must be, and I'm gonna tell you why I think this. He's thinking if her husband can join in this, then something must be wrong for her to pick that kind of man.
If she don't want me to join in, I mean she don't want me. So I get the message. But if she needs, you know, if she needs more than one to me.
Sam, she don't want you because she wants fulfilling the job. So that's why she got another man in the first place.
Some people just don't satisfy the greedy. Some people just don't satisfy with one thing more and more and more and more. You know what I mean? Because sometimes they're going with the next man, but they still want you. So that don't mean, you know, some people just don't satisfy.
Uh-huh.
So they want more.
Let me go to Rose just for a second. Rose, here it is. I'm thinking Stanley might make a point. Do you think so, Rose?
Well, I mean, you do have people who have threesomes and all those, you know, stuff. But I think if a man were to walk in and see his wife in bed with another man, he wouldn't just try to join in because I think he would be too angry for doing that. So I don't see him join in at all.
All right, we're going to go to some of the comments that have come in tonight. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Besides love, what inspires you to stay in an unhealthy relationship? Let's go to some of the comments. Perhaps we'll give you this one first. This female writes in, she says, I think as a woman, most of us have a tough time leaving our man if he is somewhat of a decent man and he helps us out. Jack, do you think there's any truth to that?
I do. Case in point, there's a situation at my school where this lady, she found out that her husband was cheating on her. She said she was the last one to know, and she still stayed there for a long period of time. But finally, I guess she got to the point where she just couldn't take it anymore, and so she left. And I'm just finding this information out because she shared it with not only with myself, but she shared it with a few of the staff members there at the school. So I think they will stay in the situation because of maybe what he's doing for them. But I don't advise anybody, as I said earlier, to stay in any abusive situation because it's not healthy for you.
Okay, Rose, let's give you this next comment. This male writes in. He says, I think a lot of us, in reference to, being in love, what would inspire somebody to stay in an unhealthy relationship? I think a lot of us stay in an unhealthy relationship because we're afraid of facing new and uncertain challenges when it comes to the unknown. Do you think that there's any validity in that, Rose?
I agree. I mean, that could be one of the reasons, besides finances also. Sometimes, especially the female, might think she cannot take care of herself, and if they have kids, take care of herself and the kids financially without the help of the husband. And so sometimes that might cause her to stay a little bit longer in the abusive relationship because, she probably just don't go out there and seek the help because, like Ms. Blake said, there are many places there that, that she can get shelter and get the help she needs. She just needs to be educated about those things.
All right, interesting. Ms. Blake, this question here, this female, she writes in. She says, I've asked myself this question more than 100 times, and I still find myself staying in an abusive relationship where he never says anything nice to me. Instead, he runs around on me, and I can't seem to find the strength to leave him because I think I would be afraid to be on my own. I'm 43 years of age, and I have been with him for 17 years. And she says, I do have low self-esteem issues. Miss, as a coach, life coach, Miss Blake, how could you possibly help her out? 17 years.
I would help her develop a plan to develop an exit strategy because I don't really hear abuse. I hear more emotional abuse, but not the physical. So an exit strategy of how she can position herself in a way that she can live independently of him. And I would advise her to leave because if you're talking about this has been happening over a period of time, it's just not acceptable. It comes a point where I saw something on Facebook. A lot of people don't like Facebook, but I must have positive friends on mine. And it said sometimes you have to leave. It just escaped me. I'll tell you later. But the bottom line is sometimes you have to remove yourself from the situation. And when I remember the quote, I'll share it with you all. So she needs to remove herself from that. Oh, here it is. If you don't know your worth, then when you know your worth, you'll stop giving people discounts. So she needs to stop giving him a discount.
Okay, I like that as a matter of fact. Stanley, we're going to bring you in, and we're going to give you the next comment. Stanley, are you there with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Stanley, this person sends in a comment. She says, my mother stayed in an unhealthy relationship with my father because she had so many children at the time, and she could not just walk away, and he knew that. I think some people stay because they think they can't make it on their own, especially having children. And Jack mentioned some of that scenario earlier. Stanley, what do you think? Do you think that that's a valid reason to stay with somebody in an unhealthy relationship because you got the children?
No, I know that's not really, my mother was like that in a relationship because she would have like 5-6 of us back in the island. And my stepfather used to be drinking. And when he come home, he abused her, he abused us as kids too. And she, and eventually one day, she decided, well, then, she got to get out of it. And I used to tell my stepfather, when I get big, I'm going to beat you the same you used to beat my mother. And eventually, when me and my brother we get more older, we rebel against him. And, and after that, we rebel against him, and we was beating him and things like that. And I was about to kill him, and my mother tell me, no, don't do it, you know, leave him, you know, don't do that to him. And eventually, he left. He left, and then, you know, we trust God and everything like that, and, you know, it used to be kind of hard because it financially, it used to be kind of hard because he used to help financially and things like that. But we trust God and everything like that, and we move on because, you know, I always tell her, as soon as I get a little work and thing like that, you know, I can help. Even if I get $5, I sit home and say, Mommy, I got money, and I feel I have money, could feed me for the week. You know, but we just have to trust God, and, you know, it's all about convenience sometimes, like people stay in a relationship sometimes just for the convenience. But if we trust God and as, you know, as we believe in Him, things would work out for us. You know, things would always work out for the, for the woman or the man who in an abusive relationship, because it's not healthy. You know,
okay.
Somebody could come, you know, somebody could get dead or something like that. So it's not really healthy. You have to forget about the convenience and trust God that something will work out in the way that you want it.
I agree with that. And here's our final scenario for the evening, and then we'll take one last, we got one last comment that we'll deal with. And this is deals with an extra strategy. Daisy, here's Daisy. Daisy has the perfect, what she believed to be the perfect exit strategy. And Ms. Blake touched on some of that earlier. Daisy decided that after being in an abusive relationship for a period of time, she decided to one day just conduct business as usual. She got her kids up as usual, got them dressed for school as if they were going to school, and she dressed as if she was going to work. And finally, when the husband left and he was gone, as business as usual, going on his job, she had a coworker that they had already planned. They got the kids from school. Daisy didn't even go to work that day. And then Daisy and the coworker drove off out of town to live with Daisy's mother. And that was a safe haven for Daisy. And she got all the things that she needed. She knew about the furniture, the television, any of that stuff. She just packed up, locked up the house, and this coworker moved her and those children. And she put those kids in a school in another city. And when that husband ultimately found out, then now, you know, it took him a while because he was working, and now he's trying to contact the mother to get Daisy back. And, you know, Daisy went on for a long time. But unfortunately, the question is, did Daisy go back to him for a period of time? Let's go to Jack. Jack, what do you think? Do you think Daisy should go back to him?
No, I don't think she should. I don't think she should go back to him because he had his ice cream, he had his cake, he had everything when he had it, and then he didn't know how to treat her when he had her, so I don't think she should go back to him.
Okay, but the love that, you know, being away from him and, you know, when it's an adult, the mother living with her mother, you know, the wife living with her own mother, and she's got the children, and the mother may be a certain way, and the children may be getting on her nerves, then, you know, but in, regardless of all that, you're saying she should not go back to him?
No, I mean, but this guy's abusive. This guy's abusive.
Yeah.
He's abusive towards her. And she doesn't need that. I mean, you didn't say whether he put his hands on her or did he?
He was physically abusive.
She shouldn't go back to that same scenario that I was telling you about on my job. I'm not advising the lady to go back to her husband, but that's entirely up to her. I mean, she has to decide whether she's going to forgive him from her heart and go back to her. The only thing she's saying in her mind is that he's not taking responsibility for his actions at all. He won't even come clean and do it. But he was very, very abusive. So I say no. I'll say no, don't. I'm like you on that. I remember some of the scenarios. You would say no. I'm standing my ground on that one.
I would definitely say no. And even if he's not even if he's only physically abusive, if he's not even physically abusive, but he's mentally abusive, there's nothing positive coming out of his mouth, I would say mentally abusive, I would say don't even go back to him. Rose, let's bring you in and get your thoughts on that. Even if he's, aside from being physically abusive, Rose, let's just say if he wasn't, but he's mentally abusive, there's nothing nice coming out of him. Should Daisy go back to him with the kids?
I believe the fact that she moved out and she went through all the trouble to get the kids out and get her friend, her coworker to help her to get to her mom's out of town. I think after going through all of that, no, she shouldn't go back. The thing is, if he is abusing her mentally, he's putting her down, he's kind of taking away a piece of her each time that he puts her down. And if she go back to him, it's just going to continue, okay? Eventually, she's just not even going to bother trying to leave anymore. She's just going to believe all these lies. You know, so I think she just needs to stay away and now start getting help to heal herself, you know, go through counseling, whatever she needs to do to get healing and to start over, that's what she needs to do.
Rose, what if he sends her flowers every other week?
And he might. And I think that's a mistake a lot of females make because sometimes females think with their heart, you know, and so they tend to forget.
Well, what do men think with?
A whole different thing. But, you know, because they think with their hearts a lot, they tend to forget about what he did and all the abuse that they went through. You know, I heard a sermon at church on this weekend past, on Sabbath, and the pastor said, and it stuck with me, that the people wanted to go back to Egypt because they were upset with Moses and they wanted to stone him and go back. And he's saying, why don't go back to your Egypt, you know? Think about why you left Egypt in the first place, you know?
That's right.
And so that's what you need to do. Think about why she came out of the relationship in the first place. Don't go back. Don't keep looking back, you know? Get healing for herself. It doesn't matter what he is going to do now to try to win her back, the flowers, the cards, whatever it is. Keep focusing on the abuse that he put you through.
I think that that's an excellent point, Rose, that you mentioned, because I think that if you think of the reason why you left in the first place and you stay with that, and it has to outweigh, yeah. And when you can come to answering that question of this is why I left, and I think that if when you realize for yourself that it's a good rationale, what they say a reasonable person should do, whether they do it or not, then I think that that's the best thing to do. Ms. Blake, we're going to bring you in and ask you to take the final word on that. What do you think, the extra strategy here? Should Daisy go back with the children, or should Daisy simply try it out for a while and see if he's, you know, after 3 months, he says, Daisy, baby, I have changed. I'm not the same man anymore. I can't live without you. These 3 months have been the worst 3 months of my entire life. He said, come and you'll see that I'm a changed man. Ms. Blake, tell me what you think.
Well, that's the typical personality of an abuser. So don't believe the hype. And that definitely will tell her that. Dr. Walker, I really need to put a plug in because this whole conversation really relates closely to my ebook, Dying to Wake Up. There are a lot of different stories in that novel, but it addresses domestic violence in that book. And so if you're interested, it's on Amazon.com. But I would definitely tell her as a life coach, you've done the right thing. If living with her mother is, you know, getting a little difficult, then, you know, she's just got to – I've worked with her on a plan to get out on her own, but I would not turn back. And I changed the phone number, too.
Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to thank all of you all. We are clearly out of time tonight. And you know what? We have a future upcoming show that we're going to be dealing with. How dangerous is it for friends to give advice when it comes to a significant other? The dangers of a friend or family member giving advice to one who's in an abusive relationship. So please listen out and stay tuned for that show. Join us this Friday for your Half Hour Inspirational program. Of course, if you bypass this Friday, join us next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until Friday or until next Tuesday, and remember to check out Ms. Audrey Blake's show on Monday night, 9 o'clock. So until Friday night, Monday night, or Tuesday night, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.